Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
I need to ask adults questions too. How do we know Jesus loves us? Just because, you know, it sounds really neat in our hearts. The Bible tells us that Jesus loves us, so how does he show us his love? He died for our sins. All right, let's keep that in mind as we turn to Ephesians chapter 5 this evening. Ephesians chapter 5, we're glad you came. I hope you enjoyed the testimonies and the singing and now the Word of God. Looking forward to some baptisms here in the near future. Megan and Mary will be getting baptized soon, and looking forward to that. Still got some places open in the baptismal tank for people to get wet. I don't think they'll all take it out with them. So, actually, one adult spoke to me about the possibility of it himself this morning. So, well, Ephesians 5:25. We have something that's very explicit. It says, husbands, do what? Love your wives. What is the aim of all of this? Are we to love men or wives like the world teaches us to? What do you learn from what the world teaches us? So you say, well, let's see. First thing I'll do as a modern American in 2011 is I'll turn on the TV. I'll read a book. I'll try to learn from them. What are you going to learn from television, a book? Probably, no doubt, some of the ways of Hollywood in the world, wouldn't you think? So you turn on the TV set and you say, wow, so this is what it means to love my wife. After a while, it looks like I need to lose my wife. Oh, it looks like I should have other women in my life. Isn't that kind of what the world teaches you? But when it says here in Ephesians 5:25, there's a qualifier. Do you notice it? You see what the goal and the aim is? It's much different than the world. You want to know what love looks like, husbands, for your wives. It doesn't look like any pattern probably that you hardly ever see unless you are intimately acquainted with someone who follows this model. Ephesians 5:25 tells us that husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church. And as Eileen shared with us, how did he love us? He gave himself for it. Last week, I tried to share with you that men and women generally have a natural affection for their spouse and their children. But do you remember what it said in 2 Timothy 3:3 in regard to the end times? That men and women and others will no longer have a natural affection. That's one of the signs of the last times, is a lack of natural affection for your family. There is, even among the really bad pagans sometimes, a natural affection for their spouse. I know that my spouse is someone that I love, I have an affection for her, I really care about her, so I love my wife. But we find that it means a lot of different things. I find marriage vows really interesting. Do you ever listen to them? In my time, I've read really literally dozens and dozens and dozens of marriage vows. Somewhere in my study, I bought a book of marriage vows, in fact, dozens of them. And what I began to do one day several years ago, I began reading all of these different marriage vows that different pastors had. And they intrigued me. But have you noticed one of the modern ones that are not associated with church that much will say, until love do us part. Do you find that interesting? Until my affection no longer is for this person and I find affection for someone else. Listen, people, I realize that men and women today are duplicitous. They can be extremely fickle. But we do not always depend on our so-called feelings of love. Our love rides deeper. It's more abundant. It flows over. The love of God in Christ Jesus is enormous. And we must dispense that kind of love on our wives. This is really important. Because most of us, if not all of us, have learned awkward kinds of love through the world. Most of our love comes from mimicking what we've seen from other people or from out in the world. We have not looked real carefully at the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. So men, listen, love like Christ loves the church sacrificially, abundantly, deeply. That's how Christ loves the church. Does His love ever stop for the church, even for a nanosecond? He loves us to the greatest extent. It's like our sin. He's taken our sin away as far as the east is from the west. He loves us, we're told in Scripture, with an everlasting love. Men, I realize our love isn't divine, and that we sometimes find sin crops up in our hearts. But you must say, here is what love looks like. Love looks like the love of God in Christ Jesus. Christ who went to the cross, He loved me so much that He died on the cross for my sins. There is no greater love than this. Men, love your wives like Christ loves the church. Somehow grasp what that means. Somehow meditate and contemplate the significance of Christ's love for you, and you will understand how I am to love my wife. It's hard. I'm not telling you it's easy. It's difficult. You say, well, the church couldn't be as hard as my wife is to love. Actually, I think the church may be harder to love even than our wives, don't you think? You ever think about all the things that we do to offend the living God? That we don't live for Him. We don't love Him as we ought. So often we disobey Him who gave the infinite price on the cross of Calvary. Who can be more difficult sometimes in the church? And yet the very gates of hell will not prevail, shall it? Wow. Let me throw a little aside in for the women, okay? I want you women to help your husbands love you. And sometimes women get fed up and frustrated and upset with their husbands. And so the response is often manifold. I'll try to give you some ideas scripturally of what some of that may mean. Surely sometimes women yell at their husbands. They get frustrated and angry because of their response, sometimes even toward them. And so they yell at their husbands. And they say, "What is the matter with you? Don't you love me? Don't you want to spend time with me? What is your problem?" And see, then this becomes a really terrible problem and becomes eventually a vicious circle. The yelling becomes nagging because my husband never listens to me. He doesn't want to hear the wife yelling at him. And soon the very headship of the household begins to shift. And soon not only does the yelling and the nagging prevail, then soon she becomes upset because he no longer listens at all to her, and she begins telling her friends and her family about what a creep her husband is. You understand that? I've been around a long time now too, and I've been a pastor for many years now, and I've heard and I've seen a lot of things in the course of 30-some years of ministry. What happens is, sadly, guys, listen to this. Ladies need to listen to this too. You take your complaints, your upsets to other people, and tell other people what a lousy husband you got. And so it becomes a really terrible, tragic, vicious circle after a period of time. In Proverbs chapter 21, and you say, I have some scriptural bearing and backing for some of these things. Well, I find that Proverbs 21 verse 9 tells us it's better. And this is the heart of a husband whose wife is frustrated with him. Who knows all the reasons why? Of course, back in Proverbs, we don't have revealed to us what Christ has done. They don't have that revelation. Christ had not yet gone to the cross of Calvary for our sin. And so in Proverbs 21:9, it says, it's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. In other words, you're better to go live in a corner of an attic somewhere than to live in a big old house and your wife always wants to fight with you. Then in Proverbs chapter 21, also in verse 19, a similar idea is broached. It says it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. It becomes a difficult time, ladies. And you see what happens is we all tend to shoot ourselves in the foot. You know what I mean? Husbands don't do what they ought to do. Wives don't do what they ought to do. And it becomes a really vicious circle. He turns you off. You get angry with him. You become frustrated with him. And what happens is there's not a whole lot of love going on in the course of the whole family. And it becomes a sad scenario. And it happens in many households, including many Christian households. And so I make an appeal to you. I ask men to grasp what it means to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Last week I shared with you, number one, it means to sacrifice for your wife, and we discussed that to some length. I want you to grasp it a little bit. Let's at least review a little bit of Christ's love for us on the cross. Look at Romans 5:8. Some of you can have memorized that verse. Any of you remember that verse out of memory? You don't have to shout it out, but it's a verse. One of our problems in a very, very busy culture where, and I got to tell you that, we live in a very busy time. And one of the problems we have is technology is a blessing. I've been listening to a book by Tim Challies that I downloaded for free. I'm a cheapskate sometimes. But ChristianAudio.com sometimes allows me to download free books. And one of the books was this book by Tim Challies on living in a digital world, and that people think it's really totally innocent and it doesn't affect our Christian life. But sometimes we find ourselves, so many things keep us busy. We find if it isn't television, it's a computer. If it isn't that, we have so many other devices and things that keep our minds and our hearts away from other things. So we find ourselves explicitly busy always. And we find we don't even have time to meditate on what the Bible says anymore about really important things. And then we find, what is the matter with my home? Someone was sharing with me earlier this evening that people have been coming up to this person and telling them about problems in their homes. and the difficulties and the problems, people need to understand some of the real basics. You know, and there's not an enormous amount of information that God tells us, now step one, step two, step 29, step 57, on how we need to operate in the home. He gives us some real basic procedures. The problem is we move ourselves away from it. We don't contemplate it. We find ourselves saying that, well, you know, I got so many other things to think about. Think about the things that are really important. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us. How has God demonstrated his love for us? How, and I've been using this terminology, as you know, a lot lately. What does God's love look like? Because I realize we're visual today. How do we see God's love? What does his love look like to me? How do I figure this out? Well, God has demonstrated, he has commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. So I begin to understand what it means, the love of God in Christ Jesus. I begin to understand the depth, the boundlessness of love, what it means to truly love even more. I can't quite get there. But I know it's boundless. I know it's deep. I know it's strong. I know that God's love for me is infinite and he'll never let me go. And I begin to understand that as I begin to be compelled by what it means in Ephesians 5:25 and following. Also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we're told this. It says, by this perceive, get it? By this we see, we understand, we get a concept of the love of God. We begin to put the pieces together. Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, how much more your very own dear wife, right? How much more your very own wife. You say, I would do anything for my wife. Would you give up your very life for your wife? Oh, yes, I would. In the depth of your heart, if it meant you or her, would you do it? It's easy to say things. You see, men really love their life. The greatest act of love then was Christ's sacrificial work on the cross. Well, I need to come to two, or I'm not going to finish this sermon. Verses 26 and 27. It says this, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Excuse me, I better get to 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He might sanctify. What is it mean to sanctify something? It means to separate it, doesn't it? To lay it aside, to put it apart, to make it holy. That he might do that. And you know he's cleansed us, right? The cleansing wave I see. There is a fount filled with Emmanuel's blood. What has it done? It cleanseth me. My sins have been washed away, have they not? And they've been gone as far as the east is from the west. Gone, 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 all my sins are gone, right? He has washed me, according to Titus, through regeneration. Been born again. We find that through the Word of God, We have heard, we have believed, and the Word Himself has cleansed us from our sins. Behold the Lamb of God who has done what? He taketh away the sins of the world. So when we look at this a little further, we say to ourselves, men, love your wives. How do we love our wives? Well, first of all, we see it's a sacrificial love, and that's what we've been talking about. We try to grasp what it means. Second of all, it's a cleansing, purifying love. You say, well, I just don't get it. What does this have to do with loving our wives? Hang on just for a minute here. I'm going to give you a quote. As I study sometimes, I come across quotes. And I noticed this in a commentary of John MacArthur's. And I really like what it said. It says, love wants only the best for the one it loves. You guys think that about your wives? You only want what's best? How about even for your children? Or for even others that you love around you? One of the problems we have in our American society is sometimes we're very competitive and we want to do something better and more and put the other person down. Be careful. Love only wants what's best for the one it loves. And it cannot bear for a loved one to be, and this is what's important, I really like this quote. If you really love your wives, men, it cannot bear for a loved one to be corrupted or misled by anything evil or harmful. Do you love your wife that much? That you can't stand anything that would corrupt her? You can't stand anything that would be evil or harmful to your wife? Do you love her that much? Men, you need to encourage, protect, promote your wife and family from ungodliness, from evil, and you got to make a plan on how that works. Do you send your wife in places that is sinister and harmful to her, that will be destructive to her heart and her mind, that will cause her to fall into temptation, to fall into evil? It's more than asking the Lord to deliver us from evil. It's more than asking the Lord to keep us from wicked and unreasonable people. It's consciously doing something about it. We want our wives, our brides, to dwell, to fulfill the truth of these verses in 26 and 27, to live the rest of their lives in purity and holiness. I had a counseling session many years ago. And it was actually not a young couple that came to me. It was an older couple. Not aged-wise, but they would be what I would call upper middle-aged. You know what I'm saying? They were kind of getting into that place between middle-age and growing to that next stage. They come and they asked me to counsel them because they were contemplating divorce. And so in the midst of the discussion, we find some really terrible things going on. And one of them was the husband insisted that his wife watch pornography with him. And you say, well, you wonder what's the problem with your marriage. Well, you know, I thought this would really add spice to our marriage. And all it did was add destruction. And he did not love his wife as Christ loved the church. He completely tore apart verses 26 and 27 here. Thirdly, not only do we have a sacrificial love for our wives. What does it look like? What does it mean? Well, it means, number one, verse 25, that Christ loved the church so much that he gave himself for it. It's sacrifice. Number two, it's a cleansing, purifying love. You see, he loved us so much that he cleansed us. Someday when we enter into the courts of glory, he will not hold us accountable for any of our sins. You are already in that position, are you not? Positionally, you are already seen in heavenly courts in Christ Jesus in that manner. Practically speaking, sometimes we're not where we ought to be. But man, as Christ cleansed us and separated us and purifies his church, and someday we'll stand before him as this wonderful holy people without spot or blemish. Man, what are you doing for your wives in that same context? Are you protecting her from the evil, wicked world that we live in? I got to tell you, we live in a world where so many people are saying, well, you don't understand the culture. And I see more and more young adults in particular that have no inkling of an idea of this concept. That they think it's just culture. And they protect their wives from nothing. I'm not just talking about the bad man that knocks the door down of your home and invades your very physical house. I'm talking about the demonic. I'm talking about the evil, the world that wants to creep into your lives and the world. How much are you protecting your wives from some of those things? I realize it's going to creep in anyways, but are you promoting it? Are you waving the flag and saying, go for it, dear? It's fun. And it's just part of our culture, and this is how we live. That isn't part of it. Thirdly, you love your wife as your own self. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. I'm always fascinated with that verse. You know what I mean? It's a real study of what people are really like. I really had a little bit of trouble trying to verse it without feeling offensive to you people by saying, hey, you know, hey guys, when you say I love my wife even more than myself, I'm going to tell you, I doubt it. Oh, yes, I do. It's really hard for us, is really the bottom line. We really love ourselves. We like the biggest and the best, don't you? We do. We like the biggest and the best, and we don't think it's right when we have things that we can't have. We long to feed our bodies with the good things of this existence, and sometimes even to the place where we leave our wives on the outside. Since God knows what men are like, he says, men, do what? He doesn't say love your wives even more than yourselves, because in essence, he knows what men are like. But if you love your wives as much as yourself, you will love your wives in an incredible way. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, as their own selves, as you feed it and nurture it and take care of it, and you gather things to yourself and do all of these things. So men, you need to love your wives that way. And a lot of times we really think that we do. But be careful, because sometimes we still put ourselves on the throne of our existence. That's why we so often want to do those things that make me happy over anyone else around us. We want to make me happy. As long as I'm happy, and you see, we've swallowed what the world said. The world says, go for the gusto. The world says, you're the most important person in the whole wide world. That is what your children are being taught. You know that, and you were taught that too, most of you. You're more important than anybody else, and I'm going to live that way. We don't even need to have anybody teach us that. You have no need anybody teaches that, but it promotes it. It pushes it forth. It causes us to do that. That's why when we say, hey, I got more important things in my busy life than to sit down and spend time with the Lord, you're saying that the very food that I eat is more important than any time that I would give to God. You are saying, in essence, that I have so many more things to do in my life than even for my dear wife who wants my attention and my time and my life and my all because God built her that way. And you see, when the word, see, I can't come up with these things on my own. I'm not smart enough. I don't have that kind of knowledge, and it's unbiblical anyways. You see, the things that I know and I share with you, it has to come from the truth of the Word of God. Otherwise, it doesn't hold a lot of water. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. How do we do that? He that loveth his wife loveth himself. If you, he says immediately right after that, if you love your wife as Christ loved the church, if you love your wife sacrificially, if you love your wife so much that you will attempt to keep her clean and sanctified and purified, if you love her so much that you love her as your own body, we're told in verse 8, if you love her that way, then you're doing really good. That's how you ought to love. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Oh, I hate my flesh. I despise myself sometimes. Probably in no sense do you really do. Sometimes you feel sorry for yourself. Sometimes you're upset with yourself. Sometimes these things happen, but then you immediately say, well, I feel so upset with myself, I'm going to gorge myself with food, right? I know how to comfort myself. Where's the food? Right? Or I'm so upset, we have other things that go on in people's lives. You see, Scripture tells us, and it's not an argumented point. You know what I'm saying? You can't come up to me afterwards and say, Pastor, I don't love myself, because you deny Scripture. And see, that's the argument. You can't come up to me and say, I don't love myself. People come up to me reoccurringly and say, I don't really love myself, Pastor, and that is the problem with my life. I don't really love me. Listen, you probably love yourself so much that you don't even get it yourself. You love yourself so much you feel sorry for yourself all the time. That is just a scriptural point. I don't argue with Scripture. If Scripture says people love themselves this way, who am I to argue with Scripture? And it says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Fact. All about the person that does himself in. He loves himself so much he wants out. He doesn't want to feel the pain anymore. I found it interesting. Did you notice Jack Kevorkian died recently? He was really good at doing others in, wasn't he? But I never noticed that he did himself in. Not to be contrary or ironic or even contradictory about what I was just saying, but he loved himself in a different way, didn't he? No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. That's what you got to do. You got to nourish your wife, give her the bread of heaven. But she doesn't want it. Spoon feed her. She's sick. Give her some food. Remember I was talking about wedding vows early on in the discussion? Ever notice wedding vows also talk about sickness and distress? That you'll love her even in sickness and distress? In order to love her in sickness and distress, you begin to understand that I must love her as myself because it's inconvenient. It's tiresome. It's difficult. I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to feel it. I don't like how it feels. It makes me feel ill. It makes me disturbed inside. I don't care for it. It's a tough concept, isn't it? It's tough to put all the pieces together. But you got to love your wives, men, so much you sacrifice for her. You got to keep her clean. And you got to nourish her as you love yourself, even as you take care of yourself so well. You better do the same for her as well and take care of her. And even if she's sick spiritually, you better spoon feed her. And you say, I don't have the patience for it. Hey, you love her so much as Christ loved the church. You better find the patience. You better find the ability to do it. This is supernatural. That's why you don't find very many patterns around us to see. And you'll never find it when you watch the sitcom on TV or the drama on television or the movie or whatever else, or read the romance novels or whatever else that people get their hands on. You're not going to find that kind of love. Well, Father, thank you for your word. Sometimes it's incomprehensible and it's supernatural what we got to do. Give us the grace to be able to do these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204 or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.